fellowship. What a joy divine leaning arms. What a blessedness. What a peace is mine leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms.
Oh, how sweet to walk in pilgrim way,
leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how bright the path grows from day to day, leaning on the everlasting arms. What have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms, I have blessed peace with my Lord so near. Leaning on the everlasting arms, leaning on Jesus, leaning on Jesus, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning on Jesus, leaning on Jesus, leaning on the everlasting arms, leaning on the everlasting. Secure from all alarms, leaning on Jesus, leaning on Jesus, leaning on the everlasting arms, leaning on the everlasting arms.
Good job. Wonderful. Thank you for that. Trio, if you would please, would you grab your songbooks and stand with me? We'll turn to 319 tonight. 319, set my soul afire, Lord, for thy holy word. I hope that's your prayer tonight. 319, let's all sing it together.
Set my soul afire, Lord, for thy holy word. Spirit,
Tonight, set my soul afire, Lord, in my daily life. And may that be our prayer tonight, that God would set our soul afire. Ushers, would you come? We'll take the offering tonight. And want to be generous with our offerings these two nights, as there'll be love offerings for Dr. Treiber. I want to encourage you to give each night. You can give online and designate that for Pastor Treiber as well, or here in service. Just want to let you know with that. So let's be faithful to give. Pastor Root, it's good to have you and your family here tonight. Would you come and lead us in prayer tonight? Pastor Root pastors up in Susanville and has been a faithful servant of the Lord and sent out of our church here, and we appreciate you and your family. Would you lead us in prayer as we take the offering tonight?
Thank you. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you so much. Thank you for this church. Lord, I thank you for the direction it has given through your power and your Holy Spirit. Lord, I thank you so much for the sending out churches or pastors from this church. Lord, I pray that you use this service for your glory. And Lord, I pray that indeed that it would set our soul afire. And Lord, I do pray also that you'd use the funds for your glory tonight. Lord, I thank you so much. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Special ladies, if you'll grab your songbook one more time, I'll let you stay seated, but we'll go to 316, 316. All my life long, I had panted for a drink from some cool spring. Satisfied is the name of the song. So we'll turn to 316 together. Let's sing it out all in that first verse.
All my life long, I had panted for a drink from some cool spring that I hoped would quench the burning of the thirst I felt within. Hallelujah, I have found him whom my soul so long has craved. Jesus satisfies my longings. Through his blood I now am saved. Feeding on the just around me till my strength was almost gone. Longed my soul for something better, only still to hunger on. Hallelujah, I have found him whom my soul so long has craved. Jesus satisfies my longings. Through his blood I now am saved. Poor I was and sought for riches, something that would satisfy. But the dust I gathered round me only mocked my soul sad cry. Hallelujah, I have found him whom my soul so long has craved. Jesus satisfies my longings. Through his blood I now am saved. Well of water, bread of life so rich and free, untold wealth that never faileth, my Redeemer is to me. Hallelujah, I have found him whom my soul so long has craved. Jesus satisfies my longings. Through his blood I now am saved.
Brother Alvin Martinez came to drive Pastor Treber, came to join us tonight, but he came and we're going to put him to work and have him sing for us. If you have not heard Brother Alvin Martinez sing before, you're in for a treat. He has some CDs out there. If you don't do CDs, he's online everywhere, I believe. And so you could find him on there, download or stream it wherever it is. Brother Alvin, appreciate you and your faithfulness. Would you sing for us tonight, please,
Thank
brother?
Thank you, Pastor.
Appreciate it.
Thank you. Happy Monday, everybody. How many happy in Jesus tonight? Yeah. I volunteer. I just want to fellowship with Pastor. And really, what's the reason why you're here, Brother Martinez? Well, I was thinking, how many of you married here? Let me see. How many happily married? I hope I didn't lose any raise of hands. All right. You know, husbands, how many great husbands over here? Like, I'm talking about you're enjoying life. We have two responsibilities. Brother Woods, two responsibilities. Number one is to calm our frustrated and annoyed wife. That's our very first. Just to calm our frustrated and annoyed wife sometimes when they go through it. What's my second responsibility? I was thinking about this. It's to frustrate and annoy my calm wife. That's what it was. All right. But I'm here today enjoying the journey of Christian life. You know, I made a decision this morning. I am not going to endure Christian life. I will enjoy it every step of the way. There's an opportunity to travel with my pastor. Here am I. And you know what? It came with wonderful things like dinner tonight, you know. I started my New Year's resolution. How's our New Year's resolution, all right? And, you know, I started buying all these vitamins and all that online, you know, and I took many this morning. And it's been, what, 4 weeks now? So far, Doc, I've lost $80. And but anyways, I just enjoy life. You know, other than working out, I love to sing. Well, Brother Martinez, I don't know. I can't carry a tune. Well, the Bible says make a joyful what? Noise. You ever heard noise? There's no tune to it. There's a make it joyful, though, because we have something to sing about. I've been singing about my Lord. Here's the reason why I sing. I sing because... Oh, I trust this. Bless your heart tonight. I've been singing about my Lord for so many years. I've sung when I've been happy, and I've sung when I've had tears. Some folks may even question if it's all been just a show, but the reason that I'm singing. I want the world to know I sing because there is an empty grave. I sing because there is the power to save. I sing because His grace is real to me. Oh, I sing because I know I'm not alone. I sing because someday I'm going home where I shall sing through all eternity. I have sung to those walking through the fiery trials. I've watched their saddened faces turn into happy smiles. Oh, I bowed my head and whispered, Lord, please do the same for me. Oh, I'm glad that I can tell you He gave me victory. I sing because there is an empty grave. I sing because there is the power to save. I sing because His grace is real to me. Oh, I sing because I know I'm not alone. I sing because someday I'm going home where I shall sing through all eternity.
Amen. Is there a reason to be happy as a Christian? Amen. We have a joy in our heart that the world does not know anything about, and that joy is in Jesus Christ. And you can sing about Him, talk about Him, be joyful about Him all the day long. Brother Alvin Martinez asked if he can meet with any of our seniors after church. I think he has a $100 bill for each of them. So if you want to see Brother Alvin Martinez after church, that might have not been true. I'm not sure. The Martinez in front of him or the one in front of him. Pick a Martinez over here. And oh, that's great. We appreciate you singing for us and singing about the Lord. What a blessing that is. Well, get your Bibles in your hands. We came tonight for preaching, didn't we?
Amen.
You know, I want to encourage you to sit up straight, and I want you to be ready to listen to whatever God has to speak to us about from His Word and from the preacher of God. Let's just be ready to respond right away. Amen? You know, when the preacher comes and we're looking forward to Dr. Treber coming to preach, I want to encourage you to bring an amen as well. That helps. When you're preaching, it's hard to preach to a crowd that's quiet and dead, and I know you've been at work all day, and you probably have a reason to be tired, but let's amen the preaching and sit up straight and listen. And I appreciate you so much for coming tonight, and thank you, Dr. Treber, for being with us. And Pastor Treber has been a huge influence in my life for the past about 30 years. I remember as a junior high teenager, not even a teenager yet, driving up with my family coming to Pastor's Conference way back when, and it's been a few years now. It's kind of sad when you start speaking in decades. You realize you're getting older when it's decades and multiples of those. Through many years of going to pastors' conferences and youth conference, and then going to Bible college for 4 years, and what a blessing and encouragement it's been. And I'm thankful for Pastor Treba that's just stayed straight and stayed right on the Word of God. And what an encouragement that has been to our church, to Pastor Johnson, to myself. And I want to thank you for being here. Thank you for staying faithful to the Lord. And let's listen as he preaches tonight. Pastor Treba, would you come, please?
Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor. God bless you. I love you. And I appreciate God's people here tonight. Isn't this great? On a Monday night, Samantha, that trio was a blessing tonight. Thank you for singing. And thank you for being here. Who's sitting next to someone you don't want to be sitting next to? Anybody like that? Some of your hands. No, you're married. You've got to stay together. But I'm glad you're in God's house tonight. It's a joy to serve God, isn't it? I'm so thankful for God and His goodness to me that all these years we've been able to serve Him. You know, we had dinner tonight. Pastor texted me on the way up here. He goes, does it bother you to eat ahead of time or after? It doesn't bother me a bit. I've been traveling all over the place. I don't care. This one bothered me. I ate so much. And I told Brother Martinez on the way up here, I weighed myself this morning. I never weigh myself, but I know I weigh 165 pounds, and that's what I weigh. And so I'm proud of that. I was married 165 pounds 52 years ago, and I'm 165. Well, I'm not 165. I look today, Doc, and I'm not 175, and I'm not 185, and I'm not 195. I'm over 200 pounds, and I'm not going to tell you how far over, but I'm going to start a diet. How many are going to join me on this diet? I weighed yesterday, and I weighed 204. I weighed today, I was 205, and I basically fasted all day yesterday. I gained a pound, so I don't know what's going on, but I'm fat, and I'm irritable, and so who knows what we're going to have here tonight. I can't believe how fat I've gotten. Does anybody have a fat pill I could take? I don't really want to. I'm not going to join a gym. Brother Johnson goes to the gym, doesn't he? That's strange. Strange people. But I appreciate you so very much. I'll be on a diet. If you let me come back next year, Pastor, I'll have lost my weight. I promise you that. We're in the book of Acts tonight. I believe we'll turn to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Pastor asked that we'd bring some books and talk about them. And I don't normally do this, but I'll be in North, no, where will I be? I'll be in North Carolina next Monday night. And the pastor called me on the way and said, now send some books. And so here's some books. All the hardback books are $12 tonight, which is a blue light special. And all the softbound are $10, or the cassettes are $10. This is a one of Ira Sankey. Ira Sankey died at age 38. He was in Ohio going over a bridge in a train, and the bridge collapsed, and his young bride perished. He got out of the accident, but realized that she was still down there. He went back in to save her, and he perished. He wrote the song in Rockford, Illinois. My wife is in Rockford, and it tells, hold the fort, for I am coming, and how he wrote that song. These are song books. It's part of our Heritage series. We have about 6 volumes now. This is a book. The next one comes out in 2 weeks. This is the first volume of Moody's 50 Nights in the Hippodrome in the fairgrounds. He preached for 50 nights straight. These are tremendous, tremendous messages. And then Miss Treber has a revised book. She's added to it and added new pictures to it. But 52 years of marriage, and she has it with all my heart. I hope you'll pick that up. And then Teresa Martinez has his book, 50 Blessings from God. I think you'll like that. Then lastly, there's about, I'm going to guess, 200 chapters in this book. Every chapter is about a page. And it's J.C. Penney. We worked with the Penney family for years. They said, no, you cannot reprint that. Finally, we got permission to reprint it. And he covers with us, prayer is a way of life. It's just one page. The privilege of loving God. Our spiritual heritage and obligations, a cheerful giver, sowing and reaping, 6 principles for daily living. And then he goes into finances, and there's 70 chapters there. And then there's section 2, why do men work, and honesty, and the golden rule of business, and success does not need a genius, and all these things. And then chapter 3 is knowing God's will is not easy, and trustworthiness, and our Bible, the atom bomb. And then family, section 4, a woman, a real partner. They're all just one page. You can read this. And other chapters, there are 7 chapters here, but each one has a truth for today. And I want to challenge every teenager to get that book. I didn't bring that many. So they're out there tonight, and you can pick them up at the close of the service. That would be great. Well, let's read the scripture together. Let's remain seated. And we're in Acts chapter 1. Brother Martinez asked me on the way here, what are you preaching tonight? And I told him I was preaching from a different text. And while I was up here, God just impressed me about this message. And I believe it's of God. I want to live my life that I listen to God. And I believe I've listened to him on this tonight. In Acts chapter 1, we'll read verse number 10. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, that word up is a powerful word. Up is 99 times in the book of Acts. Everything is up. Everything is exciting. Everything's up. And so he said, as he went up into you, this same Jesus, two men stood by them, saying, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus is taken up from you into heaven, so shall come in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven. And then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day journey. And when they were come, they went up into an upper room. There abode Peter and James and John and Andrew and Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus and Simon the Zealot and Judas the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, was with the brethren. Father, I thank you for these dear, dear friends. Thank you for Pastor, his dear wife, all the years he has spent here with his life, and he's dedicated himself now, these last 16 months, to these people. I pray your blessing upon these meetings, these days, today and tomorrow with the staff and tomorrow night. God, do a great work in our midst is my prayer. For I ask this in Jesus' name. And for his sake, amen. The book of Acts is a book that I've outlined every chapter with the letter P. For example, chapter 2 is the power of God, the Holy Spirit. Chapter 3 is preaching the Word of God. Chapter 4 is persecution. Chapter 5 is pain and suffering from the Word of God. Chapter 6 is the polity of the church, the organization of deacons and pastors. And chapter number 7 is the martyr Stephen, and as we look at that, that's a pain chapter. And chapter number 8 is the plan. God's plan is to leave Jerusalem and go, and God had to, because they violated chapter 1 verse 8, God had to have chapter 8 verse 1 where he scattered them everywhere to preach the Word of God. And then chapter number 9 is the Apostle Paul, as Paul got saved. And chapter number 10, I'll stop right there, but we could go on, was Peter and the gospel going to the Gentiles. The book of Acts is a powerful book. It's the Acts of the Apostle. It's the Acts of the early church, what they were doing and how God was going to use the people of God. Did you notice I didn't say chapter 1? I start with chapter 2, the power of God. But I miss chapter 1. And chapter 1 tonight is so vital because everything hinges on chapter 1. There is no chapter 2. There's no power without chapter 1. There's no persecution, our preaching, our pain, our polity. There's none of that without chapter 1. Chapter 1 is the letter P. It's so very important. It's what's missing tonight in your life. It's what's missing in my life. You know, I can preach on a lot of subjects. I can preach on victory, and I've got scores. I could preach all night on victory. I can preach on building tonight and love it. I could preach on battling and I could love it. I could preach on stewardship and enjoy it. I could preach on the family and enjoy preaching on the family. My wife and I have 3 kids all in the ministry and their mates and 14 grandkids. And now 4 have chosen the ministry and one's landing right now about another hour in Honduras and going to begin ministry there. I'm so thankful for all of our kids just scattered everywhere. In New England, they're serving God. In Florida, they're serving God. And in California, they're serving God. In Arizona, they're just everywhere serving God. And it's a joy to my heart. But I want to tell you, I could preach on the family all day long. I could preach on stewardship. But when I come to this subject, I literally am ashamed of myself. Oh, I do what I'm going to tell you in just a moment. I have an extensive time every day with God. You know what's missing is the letter P, and that's prayer. It's probably your hardest thing in your Christian life. It's easy to pass a tract. It's easy to read your Bible. But prayer is coming to God and saying, I am not capable of doing anything. I look at my prayer journal, and I have a very extensive prayer journal. And it's very small print. And my first five pages is just about my life. I've outlined it, my prayer life, like Jesus did in John 17. He prayed first for himself, and then he prayed for those that knew him, and then he prayed for those that knew him not. And that's the way my prayer journal is organized. And I've got so many prayer requests in there. I've got page after page after page. About a year ago, my wife was at home, and she was in my study, and I was in behind the desk, and she was in her chair where she reads her Bible and prays. And I noticed she had a prayer journal out, 8.5 by 11. And I looked at that, and I wanted to ask her a question. I've never looked at a prayer journal. I'm not going to look at a prayer journal. I don't know what she's praying about. But I looked at that. I got so inquisitive. Pastor, I asked her a question. I said, honey, I'm sorry to interrupt you. May I ask you a question about your prayer journal? And she said, sure. What do you have to ask me? I said, well, I noticed you've been going through page after page after page. And I said, I've noticed that you have so many yellow magic marker. Page after page, there's yellow markers. I said, what's the yellow for? And she said something powerful to me. She said, those are answered prayers. Are you getting your prayers answered? Do you pray? There's not a person in this room that prays enough. If we gave the invitation right now on prayer, everyone should come forward. I say, will you add 5 minutes a day to your prayer life? Would you add 10 minutes a day to your prayer life? Everyone should come forward. Everyone ought to do that because no one here prays enough. The Bible says, if ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give to them that ask him? Ask and ye shall receive. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Which having a son, if he's asking him for bread, would he give him a stone? If he asks him for a fish, will he give him a serpent? No. If ye then being evil know how to give good gifts, how much more? You know, our heavenly Father wants to just shower us down. He just wants to give and give and give. I can tell you that every day of my life, God is answering prayer. Every day of my life, I can point to answer prayer. And I'm not just praying, Heavenly Father, give me something to eat today. That's not even prayer because we have food in the refrigerator. But every day, God answers my prayer. When was the last time that you could say I had an answer to prayer? I want to speak to you tonight on this subject of prayer. Ye have not because ye ask not. And ye ask amiss that ye may consume it upon your own lust. Ask and ye shall receive. Here the Bible says in chapter number 1, that in chapter number 1, verse number 14, all these disciples all continued with one accord in prayer. In prayer. Look at verse number 24. And they prayed and said, Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether the two thou hast chosen. These men in chapter 1 came to God in prayer. Now, prayer is a wonderful treasure, and prayer is a wonderful thing, and blessings are ours without measure. So pray about everything. Sweet hour of prayer. Sweet hour of prayer that calls me from a world of care and bids me at my Father's throne, bid all my wants and wishes known in season of distress. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry how much? Everything to God in prayer. Ye have not because ye ask not. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we give here. 1966, I'll never forget it. I was in high school. And I drove over to San Jose, California, to the fairgrounds. There was a man there. His name was John R. Rice. And we had about 3,000 people there that night. And I drove over from my city in Fremont. And I heard him pray. I heard him preach. And he was preaching on prayer that night. And he sang a duet. Just keep on praying, one fellow would sing. And he'd sing, till light breaks through. And then the other fellow, the Lord will answer. And he'd sing, he'll answer you. God keeps his promise. And he'd sing, his word is true. And then together, just keep on praying till light breaks through. I'll never forget that night. The old man sang, just keep on praying. Luke 18:1, men ought always to pray and not faint. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Hosea 4:16, let us come. Hebrews 4:16, let us come boldly to the throne of grace that you may find mercy and find help in the time of need. God wants to answer your prayer. What are you praying for tonight? A wayward son? A wayward daughter? Are you praying? What's on your heart tonight? You say, well, God cannot, but God specializes in things thought impossible. Only God can do what God can do. I can't change this. If I can change it, I will change it. But I can't change this. But God can always change everything. Jerry Whitlow is out of our church. He's with Rock of Ages. Jerry's about 10 or 15 years younger than me, probably 15, 20 years younger than me. But Jerry's a seasoned preacher. And Jerry is, I think you might know him here. I'm sure he's been here. But Jerry's in all the prisons. And Jerry is, God's hand is powerfully upon him right now. He's getting these prisons, and they have a room of 30 or 40 chairs set up. And he'll get there, there'll be 80 guys. And the warden will come and say, you got too many fellas. And he'll take them outside in the heat of the summer, and it's 112 degrees. They'll sit there for 2 hours listening to him preach. He'll take them outside in the cold, cold winter. And they said, you're going to have to go out to the yard. We can't have 100, 115, 120. And he has music directors in all these churches. They're men that all got saved. Lifers. I think of one lifer. Everyone here in America would know who I'm talking about because you know his name. He's a lifer. He'll be in prison the rest of his life, but he's a well-known rock star. Everybody would know him. Everybody would know him. But he got saved gloriously several years ago. He's his music director in his chapel. And he plays and he sings and he sings the praises of God. He'll live and die in prison. He's old now. He'll live his life there, but he got saved. You know how that's happening? Prayer. Prayer is changing things. Prayer is opening up the jails like they've never been opened before. We had so many kids last night. I met four girls up here in the balcony, high school juniors. They all came last night, all sitting up there, Caucasian girls. And then over here were two, three little girls. And over here, a whole row of kids that have just from another high school just got saved. They're scattered all over our auditorium. They're everywhere. Brother Martinez, they're everywhere. A lot of them you've won to Christ. And God's doing something in our schools. I believe that Ezra 9:8 says God gave us a space of grace. And in this recent election, God gave us a space of grace. President Trump better do something with it the next 4 years. But we ought to do something with the church, the New Testament church. And what we need to do is prayer. I find that there is a prayer that's missing in our churches. I find the patience of prayer. Look at verse number 4. Being assembled together, it commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait. Wait. You know, waiting for God's power, waiting for God's answer. I can remember I prayed for a year. God, give me a radio. Give me a radio broadcast, 15 minutes a day, where I can just talk to my people. Give me a radio broadcast. I prayed for a whole year for that. That year turned into 5 years. And 5 years turned into 10 years. I kept praying. And 10 years turned into 15, and 15 turned into 20. 20 years praying. And 5 more years, 25 years, and 30 years. On the 31st anniversary, praying for 31 years. 31 years that God would give us a radio. And without making a phone call, God gave us 100 stations in one day. Just one day. It wasn't me that did. I don't know how to do it. It wasn't me that could do it. But God gave us 100 stations after 31 years of prayer. Just keep on praying. We have prayed. You know the old property where we're at. That was filled yesterday. The Sea Bus Ministry and the Spanish over there. But you know, we were on that one little acre, 66,000 square foot of building. We prayed for 31 years for property. And God gave us that property where we are. You know, God can do anything. They said, no, you cannot build. The city said, no, you cannot build a woman's dorm. You don't have enough space. And we built it with permits because God gave us the permits. I said, I want to build a men's dorm. He said, oh, you can't do that. Not enough space. But we built that same year a men's dorm, 200 beds and 200 beds. And then we built a gymnasium and a two-story dining facility. And everything, I went to the city. Then I said, now, here's what we're going to do. We're going to build a 3,000-seat auditorium. They said, you can't do that, Pastor. But there it sits today. God answers prayer. I don't understand how he answers some. He doesn't answer some others, but he answers them all. And it's up to me to get on God's plan, not to get God on my plan. I find there's patience in prayer. God says they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. I find there's a place of prayer. Look what he said in verse 13. And when they were come, they went into the upper room. Every year I choose a song. Last year I chose two. But one was in the upper room with Jesus. Oh, it's a great song. In the upper room. That was their place. Where's your place where you pray? I have many places. I have Brother Martinez with me tonight, but normally if he wouldn't be, I would have been praying almost all the way up here. And he's been such a help to me to drive me here. I have a place at home where I pray. I have a place in my study where I pray. I get on my bicycle, and I don't ride my bicycle for working out. I just gently ride it for about 3 miles and then get on the salt flats. And the salt flats, the levee leads you to the salt flats. And the salt flats, there's nobody out there. For miles and miles, I could scream and no one ever hear me. And I get on those salt flats where you get your table salt. And I get on those salt flats and begin to pray. And I seek God. Oh, I tell you what, you ought to, where's your place of prayer? I go to the cemetery, Brother Martinez. You have a dad that's buried out there, a cousin that's buried out there, two aunts or three aunts that are buried out there. You have many relatives buried there. I go out to the cemetery in Santa Clara, And I just walk around, and I go from marker to marker and pray over those families. But I just walk out there, and I get alone with God, and I can pray and ask God. The most important aspect of my ministry is prayer. But it's generally the most neglected. Because we get so busy in life. Prayer is a wonderful treasure. Prayer is a wonderful thing. I find that prayer is so very important. The place of prayer. I find the people of prayer. Verse 13, he lists all the disciples. And verse 15, then Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples. God's people, we're all disciples. We ought to pray. I find that in our text tonight, there's a patience in prayer. There's a place of prayer. There's a people of prayer. There's participants in prayer. I find in verse 24, there's purposeful prayer. Look what they said. And they prayed and said, Lord, thou which knoweth the hearts of men, showeth whether of these two thou hast chosen. You know, the purpose of prayer is seeking direction from God. God, what do you want me to do? And I don't know about you, but I have purpose in my heart. I'm not going to do one thing unless I know it's the will of God. I'm not going to do anything. I'm not going to move forward unless it's the will of God. I'll have tomorrow night, on Wednesday night, we'll vote, and I'll have 42 deacons now. We're adding four more deacons. We've had some that have passed away recently. And I had a policy for 50 years now in our ministry that I'll never present one thing to the church without a unanimous decision. That's hard to get 42 men on the same page. 42 men agreeing. And probably about 30 years ago, I got a man. I had all the deacons, probably had about 20-some deacons at that time, and I had them all lined up to vote, and we all voted, but one guy, he said, no, that's not it. And I said, well, we'll just table it. But in my heart, I was frustrated. Why would this guy say no? You know, the next month I brought it up again, and I was going to sort of intimidate him, I think, Doc. I think, you know, and, okay, we had a vote last time. One was against it. Let's see how we do. And he was against it. For a year and a half, he was against it. And then one night he said, fellas, I've not been trying to be bad. But God has not given me peace until tonight. And tonight's the night I'm voting yes. And we voted. You know, in that year and a half, I learned that God was working on my heart. God was working on my heart not to be angry with that man. I never after that first month or two, ever got angry with him. I was never upset with him. I was never thought that he's trying against us. He'd come to me and apologize, Pastor. I said, you know, and I'll call his name Bob. It wasn't Bob. I said, Bob, you're just trying to do what you think God wants you to do. You're not trying to be mad at me or bad at me or anything. You're just trying to obey God and just keep obeying God. You know, God was getting me. God was working on my heart that my heart would be right. That's purposeful prayer. And then I think I'll close quickly tonight, but don't put your shoes on. I see the person of prayer, verse 11. Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye up, gazing up into heaven, this same Jesus? Everything we do is in the name of Jesus. Everything. What a mighty God we serve. You know, God's more concerned with getting you an answer to prayer than you are getting an answer to prayer. God, his word I quoted already, you have not because you asked not. God's interested in you getting on his page so that you can have some answers to prayer. I think of our missionaries tonight and how they are dependent upon us to pray for them. Can you name your missionaries? Do you even know your missionaries? Have you looked at a list lately and prayed over your missionaries? Have you prayed over your Christian school? These kids, they need prayers of God's people. Have you prayed over the Christian school? Have you prayed for the staff? Have you prayed for the leadership? You know, your pastor is a powerful young man. Brother Martinez and I were talking, the wonderful thing, Brother Johnson, he had a plan. He had this thing set. And Pastor Mark Becker has not changed it one iota. Amen. It's the same, Amen. But just stronger. It's the same. Amen. Thank God for that. I want you to know that doesn't happen in most churches. Most churches, the next guy comes in and he throws away everything that the old man did. God's blessed your church here. Have you prayed for your church? Have you prayed for the police officers in your town? This year I'm taking our area, I've taken every area of our city, and we're praying for it. 15 minutes every day and 15 minutes on the property every week. We have every elementary school, and there's so many of them, about 20 of them. Every elementary school listed, every junior high school listed, every high school listed. We have the mayor and the city council and chief of police, and that's my area, and I'm taking that. And we have every hospital listed. We have every computer company listed. We have every nursing home listed. We have all these different regions all listed. Why? Because we can't do anything in those public schools, but we could pray for them. And I want our people to have a love for that school by the end of the year that they might even get to know the principal and might even talk to the principal and say, do you have any prayer requests that I can bring before the throne of grace? Our police department is appreciative that we pray over our police department. Are you praying? Are you praying for your bus routes? Are you praying for those Sunday school classes? We had a lady show up at church on last week. She got a gospel tract. She goes, this is the church, 40 years ago I got saved in. She has six daughters. They're all saved. They were in church last night. And she said, this is our church? I wonder how many people, that happens every week, Brother Martinez. You know it's true. We've had 1.7 million riders on those buses. Every week some adult comes back and said, I rode the bus 40 years ago, 30 years ago, 20 years ago. I spent the last 10 years in prison. I spent the last 15 years in jail. I spent the last 15 years as a drug addict or an alcoholic, and my life's all messed up. But God saved their soul. And God brought them home. I'm going to challenge you to do this tonight. Would you begin tomorrow praying 10 minutes a day? Could you just tomorrow pray 10 minutes? I think how easy that is. I think of how your own life, God wants to hear about your life. Lord, I battled this and I battled this and I'm struggling with this and here are some things I'm having a hard time with. Help me, God. I think of your mate and your children and your grandchildren. I think of your pastor and his wife and the staff and the deacons and the ushers and the Sunday school teachers. And the bus workers. I think of your area, your city that's lost without Christ. Yes, polity is important and organizing with deacons and ushers and Sunday, but it's all important, but not more important than prayer. That's where it all begins, child of God. Our Father, tonight, I thank you for these good people. And I know I'm preaching to the choir. I know they pray. But God, help us to at least pray 10 minutes a day. And do that for 30 days. And then maybe we add just another 5 minutes next month. 15 minutes a day. I think of how so many people could get up to a half hour in prayer a day. An hour in prayer. Some of these now, their kids are grown up. And some are retired and they have that time to pray. May we pray more than we listen to the news. May we pray more than we watch television. May we pray more than playing in life. God, give us prayer warriors. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I wonder about prayer in your life. Oh, what peace we often forfeit, all because we do not carry. Perhaps your kids have not turned out for God. Perhaps your heart is broken, and you come to church with a broken heart. Well, come with a broken heart, but come. I wonder in this house tonight, how many say, Brother Treber, I'm going to add 10 minutes a day, or I'm going to at least pray 10 minutes a day starting tomorrow. I'm going to pray 10 minutes a day, or I'm going to add 10 minutes a day. Pray for me. Would you slip your hand up all over the house? Would you slip your hand up? Thank you. You may put them down. One last question. Are you here on this Monday night? I'm praying that this year God will give me souls every single trip I'm out on the road. Are you saved? You're here on Monday night. Probably everyone's here is saved. But are you born again? Oh, Brother Treber, I'm not saved. I know I'm not saved. Pray for me. Slip your hand up right now. Let me pray for you. Would you slip it up, young and old alike? Would you slip it up? Let's stand together. Father, as we stand, I thank you for tonight. I thank you for the privilege of prayer. Lord, I'm not a great prayer warrior. I'm not the example. But God, you know I do pray. And tonight I'm praying that you would do a great work in this church. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. And I wonder, should you come and just commit to 10 extra minutes a day or 10 minutes a day, period? Could you come? You just raise your hand. The pianist begins to play. Would you come all over the house? That's it. That's it. Good, good. God bless you. Pastor will take the invitation. He'll know how to handle it.